we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Can't mess with them now. They belong to Him. That's, man, I'm telling you, it's a thing. God is good. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, well, hello there. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? If you don't know, this is Redemption Church, right? Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. And we are a mighty and willing church. My name is Chris Fluitt. I am so blessed to serve as lead pastor here. And I'm so glad to be able to bring you the Word of God today. Go ahead and get your Bibles or your Bible apps out. Your Bible apps. Go ahead and get that out. We want to be looking at Colossians 2 today. So go ahead and find Colossians chapter 2. I like to remind you every so often that we have an anonymous text line. We have an anonymous text line where we will answer your questions about faith, Jesus, and life. Also, if you have questions about the NFL draft or any kind of sporting events, I am also available with my vast knowledge on those things. But really, no, don't text in those questions. But text in questions about life, faith, Jesus Christ. 214-856-0550 is that number. Every text is anonymous, so you can ask us your questions without fear, without there being any awkwardness. 214-856-0550. We are in the fourth week of our sermon series entitled Colossians, and it is a study of the book of Colossians. As much as I would love to review the last weeks, I think time is best served with you checking out the previous weeks for yourself on the website, redemption-church.com. Also, we would love for you to subscribe to our podcast. It is available wherever podcasts are distributed. Please open your Bible or Bible apps for the reading of the Word. We are reading beginning in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Please follow along with me. Colossians 2, 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Verse 10, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Colossians 2:11. We're almost at the end. Stick with me. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Can we clap our hands for the Word of God today? Well, we thank you for your Word. We celebrate your Word today. Amen. God is good. I want to give you a quick outline of what we just read. Verse 6 through 7 is encouragement in Christ. Everyone say encouragement in Christ. And then verse 8 serves as a warning of captivity from Christ. And then verses 9 through 12 tells us what you have in Christ. Encouragement in Christ. Captivity from Christ. What you have in Christ. Everything we just read about was about who? Christ. So let's look back at verse 6. Colossians 2, 6. By the way, this is our memory verse for the month. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Paul draws on an idea of comparison. He compares between the beginning and the present. The beginning and the present. He tells the Colossians to think back to the beginning of how they first received Christ Jesus as Lord. Everyone said beginning. And in that same way they received Jesus, continue to live for Him in the same way in the present. He's comparing two things here, the beginning and the here and now in the present. It's such a simple idea, isn't it? Yet, I think it's a profound idea. I think it's a powerful idea, not just for the Colossians, but for us to think about the beginning of our faith in Jesus and the present. Humans are fickle, aren't they? Oh, yes. We often are excited at the start of things. The very beginning of things we're really excited about. But over time, we lose interest, or worse, we grow in contempt for the very thing we used to love. It happens all the time. See it all the time. Perhaps you remember getting that new job and feeling so blessed to have it. You walked in going, God gave me this job. You were like singing. You're like, you were on cloud nine. You were just so blessed about it. But right now, it's Sunday, and you're trying to convince yourself, how am I going to go back to that awful, awful, terrible place? Anybody been there? Maybe you're there now. I'm preaching to you now. Oh, how are you in the present? Don't forget how it was in the beginning. We're fickle, right? When relationships start, there seems to be a different energy to romantic relationships. But guess what? It kind of goes away over time. That emphaticness, that craziness, that, my goodness, you would stay up all night and talk, and now you're like, I gotta go to bed. I'm just gonna go to bed. Like, it's like, good night. It's like, but we're binge watching Netflix. By, this is it, right? In the beginning, we could see nothing but crazy love and spend all our time, and there comes a place, actually, if you're not careful, you'll just not be feeling those crazy love feelings. You're just thinking about all those little annoying things that they do. That's what relationships can turn into. I know I'm right. Y'all don't have to say amen, but you could. But you could. Paul, unless you're married and by that person, don't do it. All right, Paul instructs them to continue to live in Jesus. How? Live in Jesus the same way you received him. Now live in him. Continue to live with the same energy. Remember that energy when you first found Jesus? Remember that passion when you first found Jesus? Remember that devotion? Man, when you first found Jesus, you wouldn't think about missing church. I mean, it's a thing. You wouldn't think about not praying, right? Your willingness. Remember that in the beginning? Whatever you say, God, whatever you say. Like there was this crazy faith in you that just said, go talk to that guy. God just told me to talk to that guy. I'm going to go talk to that guy. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to go talk to that guy because God told me to go talk to that guy. You're willing to do it. That all that stuff that they had in the beginning, Colossae, the church in Colossae had in the beginning, Paul is telling them, live in that right now. There's this weird thing in Christians where they think they mature. I'm a mature Christian, so I don't have to, you know, get all excited. No, you a dead Christian. Right? Let's just get real. So he tells us, right, to have a received and a lived Christ. Not to just have a received Christ, but a currently lived in Christ. And that requires two things. Number one, you must actually receive him. Say those words with me. You must actually receive him. Notice Paul does not say, just as you started going to church, continue. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, just as you decided Christianity was your religion of choice, continue. He does not say, just as you started wearing Christian t-shirts and WWJD bracelets. Some of y'all don't even remember that. What would Jesus do? Just as you started wearing that paraphernalia, continue. He doesn't say any of those things. Because why? Here's the deal. Some of those things don't even require a decision on your part. Some of us started going to church because our parents made us. Yeah, some of us. The average American chose Christianity as their religion, yet has little knowledge of what Scripture says. It's true. You can be swept away in a crowd of people through peer pressure, and that's not making a decision. It doesn't mean that you've made Jesus your Lord. It doesn't mean that he is taking rulership in your life. You actually have to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. That is not optional. You actually have to do it. The word for receive is the Greek word paralambano, and it means to take, to join oneself to. It ought to remind you a little bit of marriage, paralambano, where two people are joined together. And will you take this woman as your lawfully wedded wife? Will you take this man as your lawfully wedded husband? That's a paralambano idea. It is important to remember that all of Paul's epistles, let me give you a little insight on your Bible real quick. All of Paul's epistles, another word for epistles is letters. They were written to people who had already received Jesus Christ as Lord. Think about that for a moment. He is not writing to people, hey, listen, I know you don't know Jesus at all. Let me tell you about him. No, he is actually writing to people who have already made Jesus the Lord of their life. That's the context of every verse of every epistle that he is writing. Within these books are teaching to continue your walk in Christ. Okay? Now, you can find some information about how to start your walk in Christ, but it's not really written for that. It is really written to encourage those that have already begun this walk in Christ to continue their walk in Christ. Now, I just got to tell you, that's why I get a little nervous when people start taking me through Romans for the road of salvation. Might not be a popular thing, but that the book of Romans was written to who in Rome? Christians in Rome. The church in Rome. So we need to take everything in context. Amen. Can I get an amen on context? A little bit of context here. Amen. You can clap your hands. We had one person almost clap their hands in here. Whoa, we almost had church. All right. You must actually receive him. You must. You got to do it. Number two, you must remember receiving him. You must remember receiving him. When I do marriage and premarital counseling, I like to ask this question. It always seems to catch people off guard. They never see this question coming. Here it is. I ask them to tell me their partner's testimony. Can you tell me your partner's testimony? So I want you to get this picture. There's a man and there's a woman. And I look at that man and I say, can you tell me her testimony? Look at her. I say, can you tell me his testimony? Think for a moment. Can you tell the story of how your partner came to know Jesus Christ right now? People can tell the story of how their partner did that funny, cute thing. She just does the funniest, cutest thing. Her nose just does this thing. It's so cute. I love it. Right? We can do that at a moment's notice. Or we get a little negative, right? You need no prep time to tell the story of how your partner was hurtful. Right? Or irritating, she said from the front row. My goodness. Thank you all for not clapping on that one. On the spot, you can tell how you met that person. Like, you need no prep time about this. But there always seems to be a look of worry and a look of strain when trying to tell the story of your partner meeting Jesus Christ. Without fail, I've done these counseling sessions. Without fail, that always kind of seems to be the case. Can I tell you really quick that there is no more important Chris Fluitt story than the story where I received Jesus Christ. There's not a more important. There's some really impressive stories about me. Well, I met Sarah. But then the really impressive stories about me are, man, I met Jesus Christ. And he loved me. And he forgave me. And he called me. And I'm walking in his care. And I'm walking in his will. And he's never given up on me. Those are the stories that are really, really, really a big deal about me. I remember the moment Jesus saved me. Do you remember that moment? I know what I felt. I know where I was. I remember where I was. Do you remember where you were? I was in Waco, Texas. I could take you to the exact place where God just tore me upside down, just turned me upside down, tore open my heart, filled my life with his Spirit. I know how it changed me. I know how it changed the way I think about myself, the way I think about other people. Do you know these things, and are you ready to tell someone else about it? Do you actually remember these things? Do you remember? You can't continue what you don't remember. Right? That makes sense, right? You can't continue what you don't remember. Paul tells the church in Colossae to continue in who they receive. You see, there's where religion usually messes up. We continue in what? Tradition. We continue in a what? But he tells them to continue in a who. Do you see that? Do you see that? It's not just about continuing in a what. Well, what? Here's a what we continue. We stand and we clap every once in a while and we go to church on Sunday. Those are what's. And they're beneficial, and there's some good things in it. But it's not about that. It is about continuing in the who. And when we're clapping our hands, it's not about a what. It's about a who. Jesus, we love you. These hands being lifted, it's about a who. God, Jesus, we love you. When we're baptized into water, it's not about a what. It's about a who. We are being baptized into Christ. When we're sharing the word of God with someone else, it's not about, can I convince you of my what? It's about, can I introduce you to my who? We need to be focused on the who. We need to have received the who, continue in the who every day. It's not about a what, it's about a who. Somebody say, it's not about a what, it's about a who. Paul tells the church in Colossae to continue in who they receive. Redemption. We must continue in this who we received. We need the same energy as when we first received this who. We need the same devotion as when we received this who. I want to tell you, this is a real guidepost for your life. If you are upset and angry and want to kill somebody, you need to get back to the who of Jesus Christ that you received, because you didn't feel that way when you met him. If you are torn apart by lust, you need to get back to the who you received, because when you received him, you gave all that stuff up. If you are offended at somebody, well, they said these hurtful things. They said terrible things. They even wrote them on Facebook. Can you believe it? And you're just torn apart about that stuff. You need to let all that stuff go, and you need to go back to who you were when you received him, because you didn't care about any other thing about this who, but this who that is Jesus. You didn't care about any other thing. Am I talking a foreign language, or do you understand me today? There was a who I received on January 24th, 1988, and my whole life changed, my eternity changed, who I was as a person changed. I cried tears in the van going to Mazzio's Pizza afterward, because I started to care about other people. That was a new thing for that 8-year-old boy. That was because I met a who named Jesus Christ that changed me. Now we're living in the year 2018. To the time machine, everyone. We're living in the year 2018. Pastor gets confused sometimes. Pray for him. We're living in the year 2018, and I need to get back to that who I met that Sunday night in 1988. What I'd love for you to do today is to get back to that who that is Jesus, that who that you received. Amen. Continue in who you receive. In the very same way you started this relationship with Jesus, continue. That is why coming to pray at the front of a church, coming to kneel before God and pray, should not be a one-time experience. And in the Christian world, it kind of is. You come receive Jesus Christ once, and then next week they'll go, who wants to receive Christ? Oh, no, you did that last week. No, we're not talking about you. The person that hasn't done it yet. And so people will come literally one time up to the front of a church, and they will have a little talk with Jesus, and they may not ever have another little talk with Jesus. That is insane. That is crazy. Somebody needs to read Colossians 2, verse 6, because in the same way you received this Jesus Christ, now continue to live your life in him. You can clap your hands for the word of God if you want. It's what it says. You see, you must continue. That joy you felt, it needs to continue. That surrender to his will needs to continue. That willingness must surrender. That willingness to surrender, it needs to continue. Only then can verse 7 happen. Look on to verse 7. Rooted, built up in him. Strengthen in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing in thankfulness. If you aren't rooted, you aren't continuing. If you are not building, if Jesus is not currently building you up and strengthening you in faith, are you actually continuing to receive Jesus Christ as you did in the beginning? No. Because remember, he instantly rooted you to some things. He instantly built you up into something. In an instant, he strengthened you in some ways. Paul is telling the readers of this letter that they have room to grow. Christians, do we have room to grow? Oh, you better believe it. Is anyone done growing in Jesus Christ? Please do not raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. You are not done growing in Jesus Christ. I want to really quickly have you notice the direction of growth. Can we go back to Colossians 2:7 right here? I want you to see it. It says rooted. Roots grow in what direction? They go, well, down. They go down, right? They go down. Roots grow in depth. They give depth to the plant. So we need to grow in depth. We need to grow down. But buildings are built in what direction? They're built up, right? We are to be built up in Jesus Christ. You need to grow up. Look at somebody and say, grow up. Grow up in Jesus Christ. And where does growth take place when we're gaining strength? Where does strength take place? You're pumping up your muscles, but the strength is growing where? It's growing in side the muscle, right? We need to grow in faith, strengthened in faith, it says, all right? And thankfulness grows in what direction? It overflows from the inside to the outside, right? Do you understand everything here? A Christian needs to grow in every direction. Every part of your life, God wants to grow you in it. If there's a part of your life that's immature, God wants to focus on that area and help you grow in it. Sometimes we have problem after problem after problem after problem in one area. You know what that tells me? That tells me that that's an area where we're on the treadmill trying to grow in, and we haven't grown yet. All right? Not easy to hear, but it's true. So we're rooted downward. We're growing upward. We're growing inside in strength. We're growing in thankfulness that flows outward. So you should grow up, grow down, grow inside, and grow out. Grow up, grow down, grow inside, grow out. Colossians 2:8, moving on. See to it. This is one of my favorite verses. This verse is so crazy. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. In the King James Version, it says, beware. Somebody yell, beware at me.
Beware.
Beware. When I think of the word beware, I usually think like there needs to be sirens going off. There's probably a rabid dog somewhere. Be careful. Look out, right? Beware. See to it. Make sure you didn't go too close to the dog. Be aware. Look out. Maybe you need to discern some things. Beware. It's a warning. It's a warning. Beware of what? Anyone who takes you captive. That's what it says. Can we look at this verse again? Verse 8, Colossians 2:8. Beware of anyone that takes you captive. Well, then, next question. Captive to what? What does it say? Hollow and deceptive philosophy. Beware of anyone who takes you captive. Captive to what? Hollow and deceptive philosophy. So real quick, what's a hollow philosophy? It means that it's empty. It's an empty philosophy. Is there any life inside this philosophy? No. Is there any like substance really inside this philosophy? No. There is no life in it. It's actually useless. Any philosophy that is useless to you is hollow. It's vain. There's some philosophies that are just vanity, right? The world is filled with hollow philosophy. Here's some. If you can name who is dating who in Hollywood, that is some hollow knowledge right there. That's not going to get you very far in life. If you are looking to study the universe with no interest in meeting its creator, my goodness, that's hollow. If you speak the name of your denomination more than the name of your Savior, come on now. Oh my goodness, I have been to denominational meetings where they're all about the name of their denomination. It's like I've known some people that have made a tally. How many times did they name the denomination versus how many times did they name the Savior? That's some hollow stuff. Even inside the church, we can get a little hollow. We can get a little hollow. So moving on, what is deceptive philosophy? What, if it's deceptive, that means it does what? It's a lie. It lies to you. It's not the truth. There are some philosophies that outright are lying to you. I can't stand to see people grab onto philosophies that are lying to them. Can't stand it. The world is filled with deceptive philosophy. If you believe Jesus is one of many ways to get to heaven, I got to tell you, you've been lied to. You've been lied to. He is the only way to the Father. He's the only way to heaven. If you believe that happiness comes through money, sex, or power, you've been lied to. You've been lied to. Just this week, we've been hit with huge celebrities that were found hung. They killed themselves. They had every bit of the money, sex, and power that people are running around with. And at the end of it, they realized it was a lie, and they hung themselves. I'm very saddened about it. If you believe that truth is ever changing and constantly evolving, that's kind of a thing in our society. Well, you know, truth changes over time. It evolves. No, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be lied to. There are hollow and deceptive philosophies, and they do what to you? They take you captive. They captivate you. Beware. Don't let anybody do it. Beware of hollow and deceptive philosophy. These philosophies, it says, depend on something. Look back at Colossians 2:8, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Human tradition and elemental forces rather than on Christ. Say that little bit with me. Human tradition and elemental forces rather than on Christ. One more time. Human tradition, elemental forces rather than Christ. All right. What is a human tradition? Well, what isn't? What isn't a human tradition, right? Anything could actually be a human tradition. Most people are the political party of their parents. Right? It's just learned. But guess what? Just like most people are the religious belief of their parents, it can be a human tradition. I would tell you that if you haven't thought about it and made your own decisions, you're just going with the flow of what that human tradition is. Well, why are you a Christian? Well, mama was a Christian. I'm sorry, friend, that is not good enough. You've got to receive Christ for yourself, and you can't receive mama's Christ. You got to receive your own Christ. It's not about human tradition. If that is you, even though you could be under the banner of a church that preaches Jesus, you could be captive to a hollow or deceptive philosophy that depends on human tradition. Are you following me? Everything you see and experience, you could then adapt to your life and make it a tradition. Now, there is nothing wrong with tradition. It's actually my favorite song from Fiddler on the Roof. Totally not hip and cool to say that. All right. Some traditions are very honorable and beneficial. Who prays before their meal? That's honorable and beneficial. There's so many traditions, like taking time. July 4th is coming. Maybe you take time to say the Pledge of Allegiance. That would be a really cool thing. Maybe we should do that with our kids. Maybe teach them these things. Those are really good things, right? Traditions. But Paul is warning us that human traditions can lead and support hollow and deceptive philosophy. When human tradition leads us away from Christ, it's hollow and deceptive. I want to tell you, I love the United States. I love to sing, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. I love that song, and I really mean it. I want God to bless this country. But guess what? America could not exist tomorrow, but Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If I lose all hope in America, I don't lose all hope in Jesus Christ. that human tradition. You, if you are following a human tradition, as America goes, so does your belief in God. Wrong. Wrong. God is just as good when the economy is good or when it's bad. God is just as good when a Republican or a Democrat is in the White House. God is just as good if we're in war or out of war. God is just as good. Whatever the condition of the world around us, God is still on his throne. A writer once said, God is on the throne, so everything is right in the world. That is what is of most importance. I'm talking about human tradition. So what's next? Elemental forces. What are these elemental forces? Well, the word Paul uses could mean anything. Isn't that great? I studied so much on this word. It like led me through so much this week. And I'm real excited about it. But it is a broad meaning. Basically, it means this. It could be any first thing. Say first thing. From which others rise from. Any first thing from which others rise from. And after the design of the first thing. The natural design of the earth and the laws of nature, they're elemental. And everything kind of rises from those things. God spoke, and out of it, the universe rose. He created an elemental truth right there, an elemental force that everything rose from that first instant when he spoke, let there be. But also, God created the stars, didn't he? And humanity took that elemental creation, and they brought about something called astrology, which is the false belief. It's a false religion that does not receive Christ as the one true God. What happened? Somebody took an elemental force, Jesus saying, God saying, let there be light, let there be stars in the heavens. And they took that and they started worshiping those things. It flowed out of this elemental thing. So it's any first thing from which something rises from in an order from that thing. Okay, you following me so far? The word is broad enough to cover demons and angels. Angels were created before or after man? Before man. Created before. Remember, it's a first thing. It's a first thing that we're talking about here. Paul, later in the chapter, speaks of some worshiping angels. We'll talk about that next week. That is an example of choosing elemental forces rather than Christ. Demons are angels, aren't they? They are fallen angels who created a first thing called sin. The first person to ever sin was not actually a person. It was an angel named Lucifer. And he said, I will be like the Most High. And that pride led to a fall. It led to sin. And then that prideful one then lets loose a lie on the earth. And from that has risen in an order more and more and more sin and more death. Do you see what I'm talking about here? Elemental forces, it's a first thing from which an order rises from. Sin is one of these elemental forces. Demonic strongholds are one of these elemental forces. It could be literally anything that has a first and something rises from it after the order of it. The devil is the master of hollow and deceptive philosophy, isn't he? Oh, you better believe it. Beware of anything that is not Christ. Beware of anything that's not built on Christ. It is hollow and deceptive and depends on something other than Christ. What do you need to depend on? It's not a what, it's a who. You need to depend on Jesus Christ. Paul is telling the church in Colossae to depend on Christ. Remember in chapter 1, he told them that Christ is supreme, that Jesus Christ had supremacy. That's in Colossians 1:15. Colossians 2:9 is right in line with that idea. This is the next verse. Colossians 2:9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Somebody help me. All the fullness of deity. Give me another word for deity. God. Absolutely. All the fullness of God lives in bodily form in Jesus Christ. Redemption Church, help me some more. Scripture tells us clearly that there are how many gods? There is one true God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So how supreme is Jesus? The fullness of the one true, living God lives in bodily form in Jesus Christ. How supreme is that? That's above every other thing. How much of God is in Jesus? The fullness. No, just a little bit. Just a little bit. No, just a little portion. No, all the fullness of God is found in bodily form in Jesus Christ. This scripture should call us back to several verses in chapter 1 we studied a few weeks ago. Verse 15 said Jesus was the image of the invisible God. Verse 16 said Jesus created everything and holds everything together. Verse 17 says Jesus existed before anything else. Jesus, in verse 18, it said that he was the beginning. Verse 19 says God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Do you see how this is calling us back? Christ is supreme. Christ is God, and Christ is yours. Christ is supreme. He's above everything. Christ is God. He created everything. And this Christ is yours. Why would you let something else take you captive? Why would you let something else with a hollow, a deceptive philosophy captivate you? Why would you put your hope and your trust on any other thing rather than Jesus Christ? He is supreme, he is God, and he's yours. Beware, Colossae. Don't let anyone take you captive through anything rather than on Christ. The fullness of deity is in Jesus. And church, this is what you have in Jesus Christ. You are complete in Christ. Look at verse 10. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Christ you have been brought to what? Fullness. What does that mean? That means you're complete. That means you are lacking no thing because you have Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, if you're in this place right now and you feel like you're lacking something, get out of that hollow and deceptive philosophy. Let go of that human tradition. Let go of that elemental force, because this says you are lacking no thing. You are full. You are complete. You are whole in what? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in what? Nothing else. Jesus Christ in a car. If I just had Jesus Christ in a car. If I just had Jesus Christ in a girlfriend. If I just had Jesus Christ and six-pack abs. No, none of these things. Jesus and Jesus alone makes you whole. In fact, if anything else you put next to Jesus, if I just want Jesus and to win the lottery and then I'll be complete. No, that is going to mess you up. That's hollow and deceptive. Don't build on any other thing rather than on a who named Jesus Christ. We spend too much time dreaming about having that thing. What is that thing you dream about? That thing. If we just had that thing, then we'd be happy. If that thing would happen to us, then we'd be fulfilled. If that thing would happen to my boss, yeah. Then, oh man, I'd enjoy that, right? Wake up, Christian. In Christ, you've been brought to fullness. It does not say, in Christ, you are being brought to fullness. It doesn't say in Christ, we're working hard, we're trying to become complete people. No, it says it has already happened. It has already happened in Jesus Christ. Do you start living in it? Because it's already there for you. God has made you a complete person in the fullness of Jesus, who is the fullness of God. The fullness of God is enough fullness for you. What do you say? The fulfillment that comes in Jesus is the fulfillment that you are looking for. The who, that is Christ, is supreme to anything. And you are fulfilled when you are Christ-filled. You are fulfilled when you are Christ-filled. You need to think that way. You need to speak that way. You need to get out of the dumps that you're living in your heart and in your depression and in your sadness and in your regret over the things in the past. Start living in the fullness that you already have in Jesus Christ. You already have the fullness. Some of you wish those things would happen to you, or that your ship would come in, or whatever those things, that you just get that letter in the mail, that check in the mail, whatever those things are. Let me tell you, fullness is in here for you right now. And if you don't go after it today, What are you holding on to that's hollow? What are you holding on to that's a deception? He is head over every power and authority. I got to move quick here, but the word for authority is exousia. We've heard that word before. If you've been around here for very long, we've preached on that word before. But we've never preached on the word translated here as power. It's not dunamis. It's not kratos. It's not these words that we touch quite often. The word for power here is arche. Everyone say arche. Doesn't your throat feel better? Arche. And it means more than just power. It means original power, a beginning power, a first power. The first person or thing from which a series rises. Wait a second. It says Jesus is head over the original powers. This should remind us back to Colossians 2:8, where it said the elemental forces of this world. Remember, it meant any first thing from which others take an orderly rise. Do you follow me? So we have a first thing mentioned in Colossians 2:8, from which things rise. And now we have an original power that is the first thing of many. What we have here is Paul making great word choices. That Paul is talking about the same contextual idea. That Paul is bringing a thread through this idea. All right? He is talking about original beginning powers from which a series starts. This word also suggests demonic and angelic powers. Guess what? It says Jesus is what over those things? He is head over those things. If we go back to Colossians 1, remember where he is the beginning? Remember that? Preached on it? That word is arche. It's that same word. He is the arche. No, wait. He's head over the arche? What does this mean? No, he is the beginning power. And then these other powers show up and start things. But here's the thing. Satan says he wants to be like the Most High. But he can never be like the Most High. Because the Most High, God, is uncreated. No one created him. Satan says, I'm going to be like the Most High. You're already too late because somebody created you. You follow me? So Satan then says, I'm going to be an arche. I'm going to start something. But guess what? You aren't really the start. Jesus is the beginning. Jesus is the beginning of all beginnings. The beginning, everything that's happening in the world, Jesus is the beginning of it. That's why Colossians 1 says that he is the arche. Everything that you do, you can only do because God created it in the first place. Everything that we build, we didn't put all the atoms together to make the thing. We take some wood together and say, aren't I a great builder? Step aside, because Jesus Christ creates everything down to the molecular level. He holds all things together. He speaks and atoms come together. Smaller particles than that. Oh my goodness, he's the beginning of everything. We just show up and we think we're the beginning of something. Oh my goodness, you are not the beginning of everything. Jesus is the beginning of everything. And guess what? He is the head over every other thing. So why don't you put your trust in his power, because it is the beginning of all powers. Are you following me today? You're with me. The power, the arche of Satan that started this series, which we call sin and death, Jesus is head over it. That's why Jesus is the one to fix the problem. He's the power over it. That's why Jesus Christ himself comes to earth and dies on the cross. He's the power over that thing. That's why Jesus Christ himself is going to be the one to take you up out of the grave. He's the one to fix all the work of Satan, because he's the power in front of it. He's the power before it. He is the beginning, arche. He is the power from which everything exists. Do not be carried away with these forces and powers. You listen to me. Can I get rude for a second? Don't do it. Don't let these things pull you away, drag you away, distract you. You know what? Satan doesn't have to destroy you. He just has to distract you. My goodness, we all know that our world is so distracted. People are getting hit by buses because they're checking their Instagram, walking out in the middle of the road. They're distracted by something, and that's when they die. That's what Satan does. He wants to distract you. He wants to carry you away. But you got to beware. You got to look out. You cannot let those things happen. Jesus is the head over every hollow and deceptive philosophy. Jesus is head over every human tradition and over every elemental force. So why would you look at those lower level things? Why not look to the one who started it all, who holds it all together, who redeems us, who never lies, who never stops loving us? Look to him. I think that sounds like a good idea. I think that sounds like something we ought to do. What do you say? Don't be carried away. Thank you. He's before their beginning. Whatever you're facing right now, if you're facing cancer, you created a God who existed before it. If somebody's lying about you at your job, don't you worry about it. Jesus existed before. He's going to exist after it. You're putting your trust in him. He is firstborn over all creation. Don't you worry about a thing. What else does Jesus do? He's the head of every rule and authority. So what else does he do for us? Well, Colossians 2:11, looking at it, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by who? By Christ. Verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Paul talks about circumcision, and this ancient world was well aware of the meaning of circumcision, as I'm sure you are today. This might be something you don't understand about circumcision, though. Circumcision was originally the sign of the covenant God made with Abraham. God makes a covenant, but he also gives a sign for the covenant. He makes a covenant with Noah that it will never rain again, but then he made a sign of that covenant, and it is a rainbow. And so he makes a covenant with Abraham, and then he makes a sign of the covenant, which is circumcision. Now Paul drops a bombshell and declares Jesus himself is performing a spiritual circumcision on your heart. In Romans 2:29, he talks about the circumcision of your heart. A circumcision not made with human hands. Human hands don't make this. No human could perform this kind of surgery because it's a spiritual surgery. We're not talking about your physical human heart. Some people can do open heart surgery on you, but the heart of you that is a spiritual thing, only Jesus Christ is the one to do that kind of surgery, and he performs it not with human hands, the very hands of God. And it says your self-ruled flesh is put off when you're circumcised by Christ. Again, what does that mean? That means you no longer call the shots. Your self-rule, yeah, and most of your problems, we don't like to admit this, but most of our problems are because of our self-rule, aren't they? Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. We make those decisions, right? But it says all of those things are put off by the spiritual circumcision. That means you don't call the shots. Now, Jesus Christ calls the shots of your life. That's what it means to receive him, don't you know? That's what it means to continue to walk in him. That's why you ought to actually, I don't know, pray and actually read the word of God and talk to God and get his counsel. That's why you got to do those things. Jesus is calling the shots in your life. If you're not praying, that means Jesus isn't calling those shots. If you aren't reading his word, that means he's not calling those shots. That all of that self-rule needs to get out of your life. We need less of our self-rule. We need more of the rule of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then Paul ties this very powerful covenantal visual of circumcision with what other visual act? What does he tie it to? I heard someone say it. Baptism. Having been buried with him in baptism is the very next sentence. It's like the continuation of the sentence. It's the continuation of the idea. Having been buried with him in baptism. This is a very strong verse on baptism. We love to baptize people around here. Do you know that about us? We love to see people baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. If you have never been baptized, I would ask you, what are you waiting for? Come talk to us today. We'd love to baptize you today. When we baptize someone in water, we use human hands, don't we? We bring out this tank right here, and my human hands lower the person into water, and then someone taps me on the shoulder, because sometimes I forget, with the same human hands, I got to raise them up from the water, not hitting their head on the back of it. First person I ever baptized with that portable baptistry was a tall man named Jonathan Upchurch, and it was such a beautiful moment until I reached the end of that tub and there wasn't enough room for his head, and I just clunk hit his head on the way down. I said, Lord, don't let him die. He wasn't completely covered by the water, so I'm like splashing the water over them. Lord Jesus, you're going to have to do this. Hopefully a circumcision by not human hands is taking place as my human hands are fouling it up. True story. He's still here today. Thank you, Jonathan. Not giving up on us, all right? Paul ties this powerful thing to baptism where these human hands are lowering and raising them. And sometimes, here's a problem with us humans. We focus on humanity. We focus on the natural. We focus on the natural in baptism, and sometimes we're actually dismissive of the spiritual work of Jesus inside baptism. There is a spiritual component not to be missed, all right? Human hands baptize you, but Paul declares that spiritual circumcision not performed by human hands is taking place. While human hands are baptizing you, the non-human hands of our God, Jesus Christ, is at work. Human hands lower you into water, but Paul says you're being buried with Jesus. That's supernatural. And then human hands are raising you from water, but Paul says you're being raised with Jesus through your faith. Does that sound supernatural? Does that sound powerful? Does that sound like something you want? Does that, if that's something you have, you ought to rejoice in it. You ought to be happy about it. If you've never received that, that's the next step for you. Let's do it. So really quickly, I want to review. Everything you do needs to be in a who. Who is that who? Jesus Christ. You should worship. Why? Well, because they're working so hard up here. Yeah, I feel bad for them, so I'm going to worship. So they, no. Why should you worship? Because it brings you closer to the who? Jesus Christ. You should study the Word. Why? Well, because, you know, sometimes Pastor Chris asks us hard questions. We got to study or we'll be embarrassed when he says he loves the Word of God. Who wants to quote our memory verse? No, that's not it. You learn the Word of God. You study the Word of God because it makes Christ known to you. It's centered in Christ. And you should be baptized. Why? Well, you know, they've got a quota they've got to meet, or the pastor gets in trouble with angels. Angels actually take out death. No, not true at all. Not even close. You're baptized because it buries you in Christ. It puts his name all over you and covers you in obedience to the Word of God. You need the Spirit. Why? Well, we sing that one song around here that says we need it, so, you know, we got to stick. Obviously not, right? Why do you need the Spirit? Because it's Christ in you. The hope of glory. What chapter of Colossians is that from? It's from Colossians 1. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hey, we're studying Colossians here. All right. Paul tells us to continue in Christ. What is all this? It's a continuation of Christ. What was the last step you took in Christ? What's the next one? Keep going and continue in the same way you received it. It's not old. It doesn't become annoying to you. It doesn't become lame to you. It's just as powerful and life-giving as it was on day one. In the same way you received Jesus, continue in that same way. Grow in that same passion. If somebody comes to you in the Word of God and says, this is the next thing for you to do in Christ, don't say, well, you know, I'm from a different denomination. We don't believe that way. No, grab a hold of it. Like, what? Did you say this is in Christ? Did you say this brings me closer to Christ? Did you say that this makes me obedient to Christ? Does this mean that something new, revelation in Christ? Sign me up. Let's do it now. Let's do it today. That's what it should be about. Don't be one of these people that's like, I'm not so convinced. No, if it is about Jesus Christ, you want it. It's about Jesus Christ, you need it. If it's about any other thing, be as skeptical as you want, because it might be hollow, it might be deceptive. But this Jesus Christ, you're supposed to build your entire life on him and be complete in him and full in him. Then Paul warns us. He says, beware. Beware of anything that stops you from continuing in Christ. Do you know that there are these spiritual forces? These are human traditions that come at you. They want to stop you today. There is already a force that would love to get in the middle of who you are right now and stop you from taking your next step in Jesus. It's here. It's an elemental force. Demonic in nature. Yeah, it's here. Beware of it. Know about it. You don't have to fear it, but you know about it and fight it. Then Paul tells them that everything they will ever need, they find in Christ, because you're complete in Christ. You are not missing out on anything when you follow Jesus. That is one of the devil's biggest lies, isn't it? I remember being a teenager, going to church, the devil telling me, gosh, you're really missing out. All your friends aren't here. They're all having a party. And you're here at youth group. That's what the devil did. The devil's an absolute liar. Here's one of his biggest lies. Here it is. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. That is the devil's just stupidest lie. Somebody offers you drugs, and the devil will go, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You need to take this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Somebody's offering you drugs, and, you know, you'll never get another chance doing this. Say no to that thing, and next day you'll get another person offering you drugs. But that's the devil's lie. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. No, it is not. It is absolutely not. You will always have an opportunity to do what's wrong. You'll always have an opportunity to wreck your life. You'll always have an opportunity to receive hollow and deceptive philosophies. You'll always have an opportunity to turn away from Jesus. Pah, the devil is such a dumb liar, but we're so dumb to follow it. There are so many things that want to stop you from serving Christ, from living in Christ. Don't follow any of them. Denounce them. Get as far away from them as you can. Then Paul tells us that everything we'll ever need is in Jesus. That you're complete in Him. Do you believe that? This Jesus, who is head of all power and authority, performs everything you need. He's Jehovah Jireh. That means He's your provider. He's Jehovah Nisi. That means He's your victory banner. Jehovah Tsidkenu. That means He's your righteous judge. He's Jehovah Rophe. That means He is your shepherd. That means He's Jehovah Shalom. You need peace? He is that. He is everything. You need salvation? The very name Jesus means Jehovah Savior. Jehovah Shua. He is everything that you need. You have fullness in Him. And then He performs spiritual circumcision on your heart. He does what no one else can do. We're about to spend some time in prayer. I want you to come continue in Christ today. Will you continue today? Will you continue in the same way you received Him? Will you take some time today to just thank Him. God, I thank You for way back when You reached me, when I felt Your presence. These altars are open right now. Why don't you come? If you want special prayer in this place, if you need a miracle from God, I want you in the first 2 feet. I want you to listen to me. If you need a miracle from God, I want you in the first 2 feet. Today, we want to pray with you. If you don't come in the first 2 feet, we're not going to bother you. But we want you to receive everything that you need from God today. Why don't you come reach out to God? Why don't you reach out to Him just like the first time? Why don't you worship Him just like the first time? Father, in Jesus' name, thank You, Lord, for Your love for us, God. Lord, we are so fickle. Lord, forgive us, God, for growing cold. Lord, forgive us, God, from turning away from You. Father, right now, I want You to bring us back to that first place, God, because You are of first importance, and You are the firstborn, and You are really the first power above every power. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to reach out to You, God. Lord, help us to take the next steps. We talked about some of those next steps today. Lord, let somebody take those steps. Father, anybody listening online right now, Lord, let them call out to You and find You right where you are. Father, in Jesus' name, we need You. We want You to move. Come on, church, let's really reach out to the Lord right now for the next few moments. Let's talk to Him. Let's find everything that we need in Him. Come on, continue. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.